Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You ready?
Are you ready?
It's time to laugh, to win, and to live the thrill of the action.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazy dogs. What the hell's going on out here?
No idea what's going on, but I am excited.
Every pick, every play, every game-changing moment.
Unbelievable!
This is You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
It's a great day to be alive, and it's a great day to be a better. Welcome to another edition of You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM, right here on the BetMGM Network. I'm Femi Abebefe, hanging out with you guys till the bottom of this hour from 3 to 4 Eastern time. Nick Costos will take over from 4 to 7 Eastern, but you can find us on the usual platforms. Of course, 24-7 on the BetMGM Network and directly on the free Odyssey app. We're also on Twitch at BetMGM Network, on YouTube at the BetMGM Network, Roku, Fubo TV, Samsung TV Plus, and more. And if you want to listen to us, you can go ahead and do so at Sirius Channel 160 and Sirius XM 205. And hit me up on social media throughout this hour. I'm on Twitter at Femi Abebefe. I'm on Instagram, Femi _ Abebefe. Check out the whole show on Twitter at You Better You Bet and the entire network at BetMGM Network. We got the whole crew hanging with us here on this Wednesday, hump day. We have Tyler Morales, Jake Hassan, Bill Zimmerman, Mike Brown, Sean Haugh, Addie Bates. Nick Costos joins us at the top of the hour with his thoughts on the latest rankings from the College Football Playoff Committee. Ooh, there's a little bit of controversy. Is it contrived? I don't know, but it's not making sense what the College Football Playoff Committee is doing. In my opinion, you'll get Nick's opinion coming up at 4 o'clock Eastern time. We have a couple of guests that'll be on the show as well at 5 o'clock Eastern. Odyssey NFL Insider Brian Baldinger joins us for his weekly Wednesday spot. Baldy does a great job with NFL Network, Compass Media. He's going to give us the film perspective on what we should expect to see in Week 12 in the NFL. And then at 6:20 Eastern time during the Power Hour, Danny Parkins joins us for his weekly Wednesday spot, co-host of First Things First on FS1. He's going to give us his takes on the biggest matchups. And the Chicago Bears, they're going to the playoffs? Nick will ask Danny that coming up at 6:20 Eastern time. But let's go ahead and start off with the news of the day in the National Football League, because, baby, we made it. We have the news of the day, and it's an absolute banger. Cannot wait to see how it unfolds on Sunday. But Browns quarterback Shedeur Sanders, be legendary, will make his first NFL start this Sunday against the Las Vegas Raiders. And to quote the Joker in The Dark Knight, in a way, we go. Like, this is going to be absolute spectacle. This is what I've been waiting for. This is what you've been waiting for at home, what we've all been waiting for, what Mel Kiper Jr. has been waiting for. Now we actually get to see Shedeur Sanders starting an NFL game. He gets his big chance I mean, we all were watching the NFL draft this past spring. First round goes, no Shedeur Sanders. Second round goes, no Shedeur Sanders. Third round goes, damn, we're getting into Saturday. We're in the fifth round, and Shedeur Sanders finally gets his name called. He gets the call from the Cleveland Browns after getting a call from Jack Solbrook, of course, a prank call. But he gets the call from the Cleveland Browns saying, hey, Shedeur, we're drafting you, and we're making you a member of the Cleveland Browns. Everyone who's had an opinion about this guy, and it's everyone, because we all watched Colorado the last couple of years, Shedeur, Travis Hunter, Coach Prime, we all were invested. We all followed that storyline because it was one of the biggest storylines in college football. So you have your opinions on what you think Shedeur could do. Now's the time. Line in the sand, and we're going to find out what it actually is with Shedeur Sanders. And I can't wait to see it because you're going to have the Shedeur haters. You're going to have the Shedeur stans, the people who like love the Sanders empire and all that stuff. Full disclosure, I'm rooting for Shedeur Sanders because, I mean, he seems like a pretty harmless kid, you know? Like he's just like, okay, like he's rich, he's probably entitled, whatever. But the content would be tremendous if Shedeur Sanders is actually solid and can maintain this job and hold on as the Browns starter for the rest of this regular season. Like we can't be thinking about 2026 and beyond. Like, no, like this is a week-to-week deal with Shedeur Sanders because it didn't look good the first time we saw it this past Sunday, which we'll get into here. But I don't know how this is going to go. But I do know for a fact that for one guy, there's no winning here. And that guy is Cleveland Browns head coach Kevin Stefanski. This is a no-win situation for Kevin Stefanski. Like, damned if you do, damned if you don't. That's where we're at here with this Shedeur Sanders starting on Sunday against the Las Vegas Raiders. Because if this goes poorly, and there's a pretty high probability that it does, if we're just being honest. He's a fifth-round pick. He's making his first NFL start. He's on the road. Yes, they're going against the Raiders. But, you know, most rookie quarterbacks struggle early in their careers. If this goes poorly, I mean, all of the Shedeur stands, they're going to be saying, well, you know, Stefanski never really wanted him out there, and he sabotaged him. Like Kevin Stefanski, former coach of the year, Kevin Stefanski, by the way, is like some great saboteur just for Shedeur Sanders. Like, you know that's what's happening if this goes poorly. Oh, Shedeur didn't get the reps. He didn't get the preparation to succeed. They weren't giving him the reps in training camp. They weren't giving him the reps in the regular season. He was sabotaging him. Like, that is what the conversation will be if Shedeur Sanders doesn't play well. Mind you, in actuality and in reality, this is a Cleveland Browns organization that absolutely is desperate for anyone to be good at quarterback. This is the same Cleveland Browns franchise that was so desperate for a quarterback that they gave someone who was criminally charged for sexual assault a fully guaranteed contract. You don't think they want any quarterback to succeed? They're dying for a quarterback to succeed. So it's insane that people would believe that Kevin Stefanski would come out here and sabotage Shedeur Sanders just to prove that he was right with his pre-draft evaluation. Man, it could be Shedeur Sanders. It could be Ricky Sanders. It could be Jimmy Sanders. They'll take anyone who can play the quarterback position in Cleveland after Baker Mayfield, Deshaun Watson, the number of guys that they've had start at QB. We'll have to go all the way back to Tim Couch as they rejoined the NFL back in 1999. Like, this team wants anyone. They're not going to be picky. Say, oh, man, we want a good quarterback, but not Shedeur. Are you serious? Like, for real? After the contract they gave Deshaun Watson, you really think that they're going to be picky about a good quarterback? No, they want anyone that will play well. So that's if this goes poorly. What if it goes well? What if Shedeur is awesome on Sunday? What if Shedeur leads the Browns to a victory on Sunday? Well, you think that, oh, well, Kevin Stefanski will get credit, right? Have you seen the discourse about Shedeur Sanders? Like, how this goes if Shedeur plays well is, well, damn, Kevin, what took so long? Why were you holding Shedeur back? Why didn't you play Shedeur earlier in the season? And given all the alternatives that the Browns have had, you know, it started off with Joe Flacco, then it went to Dylan Gabriel. Like, given the alternatives, it might be a fair question, to be quite honest. Like, just being honest about it. Like, if Shedeur plays well, I might ask myself, like, bro, like, why didn't you play him earlier, man, if you knew that this is what was capable? If you knew this is what you had on the bench. Like, I don't see how Kevin Stefanski wins in this situation, because Shedeur Sanders is an absolute lightning rod. And that's honestly one of the reasons why he went all the way in the fifth round. Like, he's not the first quarterback that probably rubs teams the wrong way. in the pre-draft evaluations, or is kind of standoffish or a little bit aloof or whatever word you want to describe Shedeur Sanders. I think a lot of it is that, dude, like, this guy has all that. He's not that talented. And why do we want to put up with the circus that comes with the whole Sanders empire? There you go. You end up going in the fifth round. So that's where we're at for Kevin Stefanski. Not to mention all the other people who are like just waiting to dunk on Shedeur Sanders because they don't like him for whatever reason that might be. So like the whole thing is going to be chaotic. But another thing that I know coming up this Sunday is that Shedeur will be better this Sunday than he was last, because it's damn near impossible to be worse than what he looked like against the Baltimore Ravens. 4 of 16, 47 yards, interception, took a couple of sacks. We reference QBR on this show all the time, the stat that ESPN uses to measure quarterback play from 0 to 100, 100 being the best, 0 being the absolute worst. Shedeur Sanders' QBR last Sunday against the Ravens on a scale of 0 to 100 was a 2.4. Yeah, a 2.4. Like, one of the worst quarterback performances, probably the worst quarterback performance of the entire season. That's how bad it was. But now this week, Shedeur Sanders, given the fact that Dylan Gabriel's still in the concussion protocol, has a full week of the first team reps. This week, Shedeur Sanders will have a game plan that's centered around what he does well in the confines of the Cleveland Browns offense. That wasn't the case last week. Last week it was like, hey man, you're the backup quarterback. Get in there. Let's see what we can do. And the Ravens defense is not like the 2000 Ravens defense. You know, there's holes that you can poke it, but still, like, they got some NFL big time players, Kyle Hamilton, et cetera, on that defense. Like, it's not going to go well with Shedeur Sanders just getting thrust into there. This week, though, it's a big step down in competition. And now you have a whole week to prepare, and you're watching the film, and Hugh and Stefanski are going through the game plan. What do we like? What do we don't like? This has to look better for Shedeur. And if it does look better, even marginally, the Browns should just stick with Shedeur Sanders. That's my opinion. I don't know what there is to gain by playing Dylan Gabriel, who through 5.5 games, and that's not the largest sample size for a young quarterback, who, like, and let's be fair to Gabriel, he's also a rookie. Very limited, but he's also a rookie. But through 5.5 games, I think we know what this is with Dylan Gabriel. And most guys, I'm willing to give them a little bit more time because, you know, they might have more upside, or they might have some more talent, or they might be really young. You know, maybe they're 21, 22 years old, whatever. Gabriel's like 24 years old and started, what, 50-something college football games? Like, I don't know how much room there is to grow here for Dylan Gabriel. And that's not to like make a short joke or anything like that. Like literally, like, I don't know how much room there is to grow in terms of his ability in the NFL going up against big time athletes. Like, you watch him play, and I know other people have referenced this, it does look like somebody let their little brother play against the varsity squad. Like, that's what it looks like when Dylan Gabriel's behind center. I think the Cleveland Browns have their backup quarterback in Dylan Gabriel, but they know they don't have a starter in Dylan Gabriel. So if you know that, why not play the other guy if it goes well on Sunday? Why not say, hey, you know what, Shedeur? We're going to give you the next like 5-6 games or so, and then we'll evaluate and see where things stand after that. But like, the season's lost. We're 2-8. We're not going anywhere. There's no playoff hopes. I'm sure if they lose on Sunday, they'll probably be mathematically eliminated, or maybe the week after that. Like, we all know what's going to happen here with the Cleveland Browns. There's nowhere to go. So let's see if maybe there's some upside with Shedeur Sanders. And you would think with getting the full week of practice and then another week and another week and more game reps, you would think that maybe Shedeur would be getting better throughout the process. Now, maybe he also falls flat on his face, and you also know Shedeur Sanders isn't the guy. And at that point, I don't know, just play Bailey Zappe and play for the draft pick. There's nothing else to do there. Just like, protect Gabriel, protect Shedeur Sanders, play Zappe, and just say, all right, we'll see everybody in 2026 as we have a top two draft pick or whatever we end up getting at the end of the season. But to me, it makes a lot more sense to stick with Shedeur than it would to go back to Dylan Gabriel, given the fact that Gabriel, I mean, we're talking about multiple games of QBRs under 20 with Dylan Gabriel this season. Like, bad's not a strong enough word to describe what he's been this season. And he's a rookie. I want to harp on that. He is a rookie. He's a young quarterback. But still, there's been zero promise whatsoever. And now he's starting to turn the ball over, which I said he would never do when I was defending him against Will Levis. Like, this is bad. And we know that he's not the future for the Cleveland Browns. But this whole thing sets up what is a really interesting betting market come Sunday when the Browns take on the Las Vegas Raiders. Because when this news came out earlier this afternoon, Shedeur Sanders starting on Sunday against the Raiders, we saw the betting market say, oh, really? That's the case? Let's bet the Raiders. This went from 3, 3.5 to now 4. The Las Vegas Raiders, 4-point favorites on Sunday against the Cleveland Browns. The total's even at 36, which, I mean, first glance, that total seems like it's 10 points too high. Like, I don't know where the points are coming from in this game. Like, for those of you who are still brave enough to bet NFL totals, I am no longer amongst you folks. But for those of you who are, to me, that seems like a slam dunk under at a 36. Like, this to me just screams 13-10, 12-9, that kind of a game. But hey, I guess they put the total at 36 because maybe the quarterbacks throw pick sixes or turn the ball over deep in their own territory. That's probably the way that you're going to get points in that particular game. But when I think about this game, quarterback stuff aside, it could be Shedeur, it could be Dylan Gabriel, it could be Kelly Holcomb, I don't know, whoever. Like, the best unit on the field is still the Cleveland Browns defense. And it's by a pretty wide margin. And now, a Raiders team, who, by the way, coming off of a short week, they're at home, but it's a short week, just lost to the Dallas Cowboys on Monday. A Raiders team that has a bad quarterback, has no offensive line, and has a defense that outside of Max Crosby can't do anything. Why can't Cleveland craft a game plan to be competitive in the game? You're going to unleash Myles Garrett on that offensive line that we saw Monday night that made the Dallas Cowboys defense look like one of the top half defenses in the league? Myles Garrett might break the single season sack record on Sunday against that terrible Raiders offensive line. Like, this defense is awesome for Cleveland. That's not been a question. So for me, Shedeur Sanders at quarterback, everyone says, oh, rookie quarterback on the road, time to fade him. Usually I would be right there with you. But this Raiders team, that's not the team that you want to fade Shedeur Sanders with. To me, this is a bet on the Cleveland Browns because I'm not betting on Shedeur Sanders. I'm betting on Myles Garrett. I'm betting on Jim Schwartz. And I'm betting the Raiders continue to look like the disaster that they've looked like through 11 weeks of this NFL regular season. On the other side, we will tackle the College Football Playoff Committee and why they continue to be absolutely insane next here on You Better You Bet.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site.
Lowe's, we help. You save.
Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Let's get back to You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network.
Welcome back. This is You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetMGM Network. Femi Abebefe hanging with you guys on this Wednesday, 40 minutes from now. Nick Kostos will take the baton and give us his thoughts on the latest college football playoff rankings that were revealed last night from the CFP committee. Boy, do I have a take on what they did last night. We will get into that here shortly. But coming up in 20 minutes, we'll take a whip around of the biggest NFL awards, MVP, Offensive Player of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year, and where things stand as we're starting to get some rock-solid favorites heading into the second half of the regular season. So a full breakdown of the NFL awards coming up in 20 minutes. And also, my betting card, since I will not be around here after the 4 o'clock hour, my betting card in the college basketball circuit, NBA, and NHL. Frozen Femi's got a couple of dandies after we hit on Kyle Palmieri last night, 3-1. How about that to light your lamp? We got some other juicy bets coming up in the hockey in about 20 minutes. But joining us right now, like he does each and every weekday at 3:20 Eastern time, it's our executive producer, Bill Zimmerman. Bill, what's happening? How we doing here on this Wednesday?
We're doing good, Femi. It's the middle of the week. We're starting to pivot forward here. Lots of NFL news. We got college football rankings. There's plenty to do on a Wednesday.
Oh, a hell of a lot to do on a Wednesday. I mean, college basketball being back in our lives, like because obviously I was watching the Champions Classic last night. And I'm like, man, like usually on a Tuesday night, I'm not watching sports. Like I'll watch the CFP show and then maybe watch some other stuff. But I was intrigued. I was out there rooting on Cam Boozer and we bet him to win the Wooden Award yesterday. I'm like, let's go. Didn't have the greatest game, but ended up with a really good stat line. So hopefully it's onward and upward for the Duke freshman big man. But we'll talk about him a little bit later on here in this segment. But let's waste no more time because I have a lot to say about the CFP committee. Bill, what's the number one thing we need to know this afternoon?
Well, Femi, you foreshadowed it right there. It is the college football playoff rankings. They, of course, came out last night. Ohio State, Indiana, Texas A&M, they remain your top three, 1, 2, 3 in that order. Georgia moves up to 4, and Texas Tech moves up to 5, with Alabama falling to 10 with their loss. Notre Dame is still ranked ahead of Miami, much to the chagrin of Miami fans. Femi, what did you make of the ratings this week? Did you have as much outrage as so many in the national media did?
Oh, I did. I had the outrage. I'm not usually a guy that gets pissed off or gets mad or whatever. Because, like, usually my thought process is, hey, it'll work itself out. And that's kind of how things worked in the 4-team playoff era. But now with this 12-team playoff, there's some tomfoolery going on with this college football playoff committee. Last night, I thought the committee embarrassed themselves last night. Like, I honestly thought they embarrassed themselves with the lack of transparency and the lack of consistency. Now, we'll start with the consistency part of this thing. Like, that to me is jarring. How they, for one side of the argument, it's this, but for this other's argument, it's something else. For example, last night, interim committee chair, Hunter Yurecek, who is like the AD for Arkansas, he took over after Baylor AD, Mac Rhodes took a leave of absence. Hunter Yurecek said that Oregon, in the committee's eyes, is still getting credit for beating Penn State. Mind you, earlier this afternoon, the guy who was coaching Penn State is doing interviews across ESPN wearing a blazer with a Virginia Tech tie. He's no longer the coach, and they're still getting credit for beating a team that fired their head coach in October. Also last night, Hunter Yurecek said that it hurts number 19 Virginia that Louisville fell out of the rankings. Where the hell did Penn State go? Is Penn State one of the top 25 teams? Oregon gets credit for Penn State, but Virginia can't get credit for Louisville? None of it makes sense from a consistency standpoint. You cannot make this stuff up. Also, I would like to know, because the committee says, hey, we have our metrics. We have the things that we look at. How do they define strength of record? What are they looking at? They say it's not the ESPN Football Power Index. It's not the FPI. That's not what they're using. But on the CFP conference call, our guy Yurecek, he was asked about the gap between some of the teams in the top 10 and said, quote, we had significant discussions of the teams 7 through 10 comparing Oregon, Oklahoma, Notre Dame, and Alabama. Oregon, while their strength of schedule might not be as strong as Oklahoma, they rank in the top 10 in several of the statistical categories we use. What are those categories? Enlighten us. Let us know. Let us know what those categories are. Oh, and the categories that we use. What is it? How many cool alternate uniforms that we have? Is that what it is? Like, Oregon, in actual reality, doesn't have a win over a current top 25 team. Like, they beat Iowa. Oh, great. Iowa's out of the top 25 because Iowa's not that good. Let's be for real. Meanwhile, Oregon at 7, ranked ahead of Alabama, who I know just lost to Oklahoma. How about this for Alabama's resume? 4-1 against the current top 25. But meanwhile, Oregon gets to skate to number 7, one of the only big game that they've played against a really good team. They played at home against Indiana and got beat by double digits. They get to be hanging out there at number 7. Great. All right. Here's Oregon. Fantastic. And that's not even the biggest issue that I have. This Notre Dame stuff is comical to me, man. Like, this is a truly, truly rich thing with Notre Dame. Juracek said that Notre Dame, and the whole thing is Notre Dame versus Miami, and we saw Miami beat Notre Dame, so that's what everyone's been arguing about. He said that Notre Dame and Miami haven't been compared to each other because they are not close enough to each other in the rankings. My guy, you control the rankings. Like, he's making it seem like there's some outside source that says, hey, here are the rankings. Now come up with an argument to justify them. You guys literally control the rankings. Oh, we don't have to compare them because, oh, we'll just put them far enough apart to where, hey, they're not on the same tier. And he added, and this is the real one that got me going last night. He said, Miami has 2 losses to unranked teams and Notre Dame has 2 losses to teams in the committee's top 13. One of those teams is literally Miami. Like, what are we talking about? This is actually insane. Like, am I taking crazy pills? Like, one of those teams, they're literally getting more credit for losing to Miami than Miami's getting credit for beating Notre Dame. Make that make sense. Notre Dame's most impressive data points are a loss to Miami and a loss to Texas A&M. Miss me with this win over Navy, where Navy was playing their backup quarterback. Come on. Get out of here with that nonsense. Miss me with last Saturday's win against Pitt when Pitt's coach literally said last week, this game doesn't matter. Like, this is what we're talking about? And shout out to these guys, First and 16 Podcast. I've never heard of them until last night, but I thought their tweet was an absolute banger. They said Notre Dame's CFP path, 1-2 in ranked matchups, 2-0 against group of 5 teams, 7-0 against power 4 teams with a combined 10-47 record against other power 4 teams. And of course, the cherry on top of the sundae, no 13th data point with a conference championship game. Is Notre Dame playing better? Yes, they are playing better. But let's also use the proper context that their improved play is directly correlated to the weak-ass schedule that they've been playing ever since losing to Texas A&M. To just assume that this is some top 10 team or top 5 team, in my opinion, is absolutely silly. And this just isn't even a Notre Dame-Miami thing. Notre Dame's ranked ahead of Alabama, who we just talked about has 4-1 against the top 25. To me, this is where the committee, where I'm calling out the tomfoolery. Notre Dame being ahead of Miami is, hey, let's use Miami as a nice little buffer so that we don't have to have the Notre Dame-Miami conversation. We're going to use Bama as a buffer behind Notre Dame to block off that whole conversation. Because when you compare Notre Dame and Bama's resumes, Notre Dame beat number 15 USC. Congratulations. USC can't function when they have to leave the West Coast. They lost to A&M. They lost to Miami. Meanwhile, Alabama has the best win in the country at Georgia, who's now number 4. They beat Vanderbilt, who's 14. They beat Tennessee, who's 20. They beat Missouri, who's 22. They lost to Oklahoma last Saturday, who's number 8. We all watched the game. We talked about it earlier this week. That game was very fluky, but hey, it's an L nonetheless. We're not going to go ahead and play the hypothetical game. They lost it. And they lost to a dreadful Florida State team. Sure, I understand. But what the committee is telling us, all of us, is that pretty losses matter more than big time wins. We used to live into a world where you had to win to get into the playoffs. Nope, just lose in respectable fashion. Just lose to a top team and oh yeah, hey, you're all good. You lost to this team, you were competitive with this team, whatever, doesn't matter. That's what the committee values because they consistently say, quote, you look at the losses of Notre Dame versus the losses of Alabama, and that was really one of the defining metrics that we use. They're literally telling you that the losses matter more than the wins. But also, I do find it funny how he mentions that the FSU-Alabama game was lopsided because apparently some week one results matter while other week one results do not matter. And this to me, to wrap this up here, because I know I'm going long on this thing, but it just really pissed me off last night. This is the danger of all these advanced metrics and what we're using. And honestly, to be frank, this is the danger of like the power ratings that help shape the betting markets being so widely available. We're ending up living in a world where hypotheticals matter more than what actually happened on the field. Like, I know everyone says, well, I mean, Notre Dame's much better. Put Notre Dame and Miami on a neutral. Notre Dame will be favored. Blah, 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 blah. That's not how this is supposed to be decided. The games are supposed to matter. The results are supposed to matter. In week one, Miami beat Notre Dame. Let's look at the actual results as opposed to playing put him on a neutral. No, we saw him play Labor Day weekend and we saw Miami beat Notre Dame. End of discussion. If they're going to be continue to be two lost teams compared to each other, I don't know how you can justify the Fighting Irish being ahead of the Miami Hurricanes. Maybe it works itself out, or maybe, just maybe, they let Notre Dame cruise their way into the playoff having beaten absolutely nobody. Bill, hit me with the next story.
Notre Dame bias, Femi. It's existed since time began.
It's insane. Like, oh, their losses are so great. Oh, great. Where are the wins?
You're not getting an argument from me. Let's move over and do some NFL here, Femi, because unfortunately, we got rough news for Atlanta Falcons quarterback Michael Penix. Ian Rappaport reporting that he does, in fact, need reconstructive ACL surgery. Not only is he going to be out for the year, but Rappaport is also reporting the recovery on this is going to be a minimum of 9 months. That means if all goes well, it's going to put him right up against the start of the regular season. So Femi, Penix is going to lose this entire offseason, and it's quite possible he's not even ready for the start of the 2026 season.
This is a disaster for the Atlanta Falcons, an absolute disaster. And this was the risk that they ran. They spent, and this goes all the way back to last offseason, not this past one that we had, the one prior heading into the 2024 season, where they're just like, you know what? We're going to give all this money to Kirk Cousins coming off an Achilles injury. Here, Kirk Cousins, take $100 million guaranteed of Arthur Blank's money. If I'm Arthur Blank, I'm furious right now. I'd have been furious that night on draft night, but I'm definitely furious now how this thing has played out. But they give Cousins all this money. Cousins couldn't even make it through his first season on the contract, gets demoted to the backup because later the next month, they drafted Michael Penix Jr. with the 8th overall pick. So as opposed to just saying, all right, you know what we want to do? We're going to hang back in free agency, maybe sign some defensive guys, maybe sign some other playmakers because we have our sights set on this young quarterback in the draft. Nope. We're going to take the guy and also give this money to a quarterback in Kirk Cousins. Or if you really like Kirk Cousins, hey, let's use that 8th pick in the draft. Let's get an impact defensive player, a guy that we're high on, or an impact wide receiver, whatever. Nope, we're going to take another quarterback because we think we have the succession plan. Meanwhile, Penix, who was an older prospect to begin with, like that's the guy that you want to have sit behind Kirk Cousins. And he finally comes in, shows a little bit of promise. And now this is his year. And what do we see? He gets hurt. And it shouldn't be a surprise that Michael Penix Jr. got hurt. And this is no shade towards him. I love Michael Penix Jr. He took my favorite college football team to a national title game. I love that dude forever. But the injury history is real. Torn ACL in 2018. Fractured clavicle in 2019. Torn ACL in 2020. Sprained AC joint in 2021. And now a partially torn ACL here in 2025. He's an older prospect. He's going to be 26 next year. And he's only started a handful of games. I don't know how the Falcons worked their way out of this, especially when you factor in that this past spring, they decided to use another first-round pick to trade back into the first round to take the pass rusher, James Pierce. This team, they might be one of the worst teams in the league with Kirk Cousins starting at quarterback, and their draft pick is going to the Rams. I cannot believe that Arthur Blank has let this happen in his organization with Terry Fontenot, the general manager, and Raheem Morris with the head coach. Like, those guys should be on the hot seat. Nobody's talking about it, but they should be on the hot seat based on how the rest of this season plays out, because this situation is not bad. It's terrible down there in Atlanta, and I don't know what the site is or that it's going to get them out of this thing, because Penix, based on his history, I don't think we can guarantee that he's going to be ready to go at the start of the 2026 season. Bill, hit me with the next story.
Well, Femi, Justin Fields has struggled all season for the New York Jets. Yeah. He's had 4 games where he's thrown for 54 yards or less. I'll let that sink in. He had 116 yards on Thursday Night Football, where the Jets lost handily to the New England Patriots. Aaron Glenn announces today that Tyrod Taylor will be starting at quarterback for the Jets this week. Jets are on the road against the Baltimore Ravens, 13.5-point dog over at BetMGM. So, Femi, I don't think it matters too much who's under center for the Jets in this one.
No, but this is a small upgrade. Like, based on the stats that you rattled out, Bill, multiple games under 50 yards passing. Like, that's like a made-up stat. Like, Jesus. My goodness. This is a small upgrade. The problem is, though, we know what's going to happen with Tyrod Taylor. He's probably going to get hurt. And that's just, like, that's not to make fun or anything like that. That's just the reality of the situation because he's an older quarterback, and it seems to be injury-prone like, years ago, and now here he is in 2025. Now, this week... Who knows? Maybe they can keep it competitive. I know Lamar Jackson's not practicing today. Like, he seems to be on the load management program with that knee injury. And what we saw last Sunday, the worst game of Lamar's career, like maybe this is what it's going to be as this knee continues to ail him. But yeah, I think it's pretty safe the Baltimore Ravens are going to win. Will they cover? I don't know. That to me more like a coin flip. And Tyrod Taylor actually has a chance to make them sweat a little bit come Sunday afternoon over there in Baltimore. All right, on the other side, I promise I'll be a lot more calm as we break down MVP, OPOY, and DPOY in the NFL.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Let's get back to You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network.
Let's get back to it here on a Wednesday on You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetMGM Network. Femi Abebefe hanging out with you guys the rest of this hour. Coming up in 20 minutes, Nick Kostos will take the baton and take you the rest of the way until 7 o'clock Eastern time. But he'll start off with his thoughts on the College Football Playoff Committee's most recent rankings that they released yesterday in between the Champions Classic. I always love when they do that. Like, we get the first game, then we get the rankings, then we get the second game. It's a nice little sports bundle there for college sports fans who love basketball and football. But we saw the rankings last night. I gave you my thoughts on the rankings in the last segment. If you missed them, check them out in podcast form. We don't need to rehash all that stuff. I have since calmed down while we were in the break. We will get to NFL awards shortly, but I did want to touch on what we saw last night in LA that saw the Lakers beat the Utah Jazz 140-126 in LeBron James's regular season debut. LeBron making history as he sets foot on his 23rd NBA season, which I don't think we talk enough about how absurd that is. 23 seasons in the NBA. Like, I was literally, 03, 04 was his first year. I was in the eighth grade LeBron James started playing basketball. Like, I'm now 35 years old. I'm married. I got a mortgage. This guy's been playing forever. I mean, he's playing against guys who were not even born. It's insane what LeBron was doing. And last night, LeBron James, in 30 minutes of play, was pretty good for the Los Angeles Lakers. And, like, I say that, like, I almost hate the tone of that. Like, I make it sound like he was, like, some, like, scrub or something like that. And it's surprising that LeBron James is good at basketball. He's one of the all-time greats. But, like, you know, he's coming off of the sciatica injury. He's 40 years old. Like, how is this going to go? It went well. 11 points, 12 rebounds, or sorry, 12 assists rather, one turnover, as LeBron was more in the facilitator mode with he and Luka Doncic. I think that those guys, there's so many playmakers on this Lakers offense. They're just going to be so good on that end of the floor. And all the talk about, hey, are the Lakers going to be worse off with LeBron James? It just seems silly. Now, of course, it's the Utah Jazz. Have to keep that in mind. Utah is one of the worst teams in the league. But still, this team and any basketball team is made better by LeBron James playing on that team. And I'm curious to see what it looks like when they play the contending teams. Now, we're not going to see them play until Sunday, because for some reason, the Lakers have all these days off that'll help LeBron get right. Sunday, they're going to take on the Utah Jazz again. That game will be played in Salt Lake City. But let's see what it looks like when they take on the Houstons, the OKCs, the Denvers, like those kind of teams in the Western Conference. But so far, so good. We're off to a good start. And for the Lakers at 11-4, you got to like where this is headed. I mean, they more than kept the ship afloat without LeBron James. And now that LeBron is back, like, they don't have to sort of like have him press the gas, because Luka is one of the best players, and Austin Reeves has emerged as a potential all-NBA guy. So this is only positive for the Los Angeles Lakers, and I'm curious to see how this plays out over the next handful of months here. But LeBron back on the court, always a pleasure to see, and he was really good once again last night. All right, let's talk some NFL awards and get into the most prestigious award, that being MVP, Most Valuable Player in the NFL, where it was a very pivotal week last week with the MVP, with some marquee games. We saw Drake May on Thursday Night Football, but most importantly, we saw Matthew Stafford play in the afternoon against the Seattle Seahawks in what was billed as the game of the week. And Matthew Stafford's team, the Los Angeles Rams, were victorious, as that win has propelled Stafford to favorite status for the MVP. Matthew Stafford over at BetMGM is plus 135 to be league MVP. Now, I talked about this last week, and we talked about it with Nick earlier this week. I actually don't think Stafford's going to win this award. I came away actually a little bit more skeptical of the Rams after watching their win over the Seahawks. That to me felt more like, oh, Sam Darnold, what's going on here? As opposed to Rams, best team in the league. Like, no, I don't think they're the best team in the league. I don't even think they're like one of the top two teams in the NFC. But right now, at 8-2, hey, like, they're playing some really good football, and the schedule is manageable over the next month, to where Stafford's likely going to hold on to favorite status, barring some kind of an upset loss. Now, the Rams' win total, it's adjusted up to 12.5. They're now plus 170 to be the one seed in the NFC. He's 7th in EPA per play. He's 6th in QBR. I mean, he might throw for, like, what, 45 touchdowns and have, like, 5 interceptions? Like, that kind of a TD, the INT ratio, like, that's going to have you at least in the conversation, if not leading the conversation. I'm just not so sure or convinced that they're actually going to win this division. That's where I kind of pump the brakes here on Matthew Stafford to win MVP. And, like, that's what's required. Like, you need to win the division or be Adrian Peterson and come close to breaking Eric Dickerson's record. Like, if you're not doing that, you better win the division. And Stafford's not going to be able to break Dickerson's record because he's not a running back. And in terms of the division, Seattle's still there. The Niners, if they start to come on, I don't think they're going to win it, but they could also give them some. I guess they don't have to play them anymore, but still, like, that's a team that could kind of compete in that NFC West. And they have some games against Detroit down the road. Like, these are not easy football games for the Rams. So to me, it feels like Stafford's sort of the midseason guy. But at the end of the year, I don't think he's going to win the award. I actually agree with what Whale said on the show yesterday, and I was planning to say it on the show today, and I'll say it here nonetheless. I think the winner is going to end up coming down to the AFC East between Drake May and Josh Allen. I think that's going to be your MVP winner. And right now, you have to give the nod to Drake May, which is why he's plus 175. The New England Patriots are plus 200 to be your one seed. The schedule is cake, and maybe that holds back people in praising Drake May, because I'm sure there'll be some voters out there that say, well, like, look, he didn't play anybody. And yeah, like, that's a very fair criticism of Drake May's candidacy. But I think for most voters, they're going to look at a guy that's in the top two for both advanced metrics, EPA per play and QBR. They're going to look at a team that's 13-4, maybe even 14-3. And they're going to say, hey, Drake May is the guy. Like, we always want to look for the next guy. Drake May is looking like he might be that next guy. And if the Patriots beat the Buffalo Bills at home in December, that's the chance for Drake May to get that kind of pop. And if he gets that pop, I think he eventually runs away with winning the MVP. So, like, you ask me right now, who do I think is going to win the award? I actually think it's going to be Drake May, who's right now at plus 175. Now, that's not to say to bet him, because it's plus 175. I think at this point, if you don't have any Drake May, you kind of have to let the ship sail and hope that he falls off or Stafford falls off and maybe Josh Allen gets back into the picture. But Josh Allen, his MVP case, it's hanging on by a thread. It's simply, bro, can you run the table and take back the division? Like, that's the MVP case. I mean, his stats are awesome. Had 6 touchdowns this past Sunday against the Buccaneers. And everybody realizes that he's the one that's carrying a very flawed Buffalo Bills team. But unless they win the division, he's not winning the award. Like, that's pretty much how it goes. Like, you're not going to win a back-to-back MVP as a 5 seed. No, you got to go back and be a 1 or a 2 seed. That's what Aaron Rodgers did back in 2019 and 2020, or sorry, 2020 and 2021. Like, Rodgers was back-to-back 1-2 seed, but like, you're the MVP both years. Like, this is not going to be 5 seed Josh Allen. And like, in fact, like, Peyton Manning, I believe in 08, won MVP as a 5 seed, but like, this is not going to happen for him. So to me, unless the Bills run down the Patriots, Josh Allen will not be repeating. So not a lot to do from a betting standpoint this week with the MVP. And final thing real quick here, and this will kind of dovetail into Offensive Player of the Year. Jonathan Taylor's at plus 750 to win MVP. Like, his stats are awesome. 1,100 rushing yards, 15 touchdowns. Like, he's amazing. However, he's a running back. And I just don't believe it with the running backs. Like, you know, we did the Saquon thing last year. If he couldn't win it, who's going to win it? That's my thing. And I think we're going to have too many good quarterback candidates to where Jonathan Taylor will not win this award. An award he will win, though, or has a really good chance to win, is Offensive Player of the Year, where he's minus 400. That, to me, is justified. Because this dude, he's ridiculous. And he's getting all the credit for why the Indianapolis Colts, he and Shane Steichen, are getting all the credit for why this team has been really, really good this season. Now, they have a very, very important game on Sunday against the Kansas City Chiefs. That will have a lot of eyeballs, given the fact that everyone's curious to see if Kansas City can turn things around. So if Taylor shows out in that game, and if the Colts beat the Chiefs, boom, like, Jonathan Taylor, OPOY, that minus 400 might be minus 650 when we have this conversation next week. That's the award that he is in line to win. And the other guy that's chasing him, and I think we're down to a two-horse race with this Offensive Player of the Year, is Jaxon Smith-Njigba of the Seattle Seahawks. JSN is plus 240, leads the league in receiving yards with 1,146. Mark him down for 120 yards a game. Like, that's what this is with JSN. Just write it down right before the game. All right, 120 yards. Can't wait to see how he does it. Like, that's, like, he is incredible. And last week, with the offense struggling, Sam Darnold struggling in particular, JSN still got his. He still got his 100 yards, his 9 catches. Like, he's unstoppable. And luckily for us, if you've been listening all season long, if you've been betting this all season long, you have both guys at much better prices, that being JSN and Jonathan Taylor. I think these are the two horses down the stretch. And I think we sit back and we see who wins in NFL honors and we collect our money then. But I think we're in a really good spot with Taylor and JSN and OPOY. And to wrap up the awards conversation, Defensive Player of the Year. I got to wear some egg on my face for this one, because I wrote this guy off the entire season. And it's looking like he might just win the award and shut me up. And that is Cleveland Browns pass rusher Myles Garrett, who is now a minus 285 favorite to win Defensive Player of the Year. As you know, we talk about the historical criteria, what's required to win, team success, really good defense. The team success is dreadful. I mean, the Browns have an updated win total of 4.5. They're 250-1 to make the playoffs, 500-1 to win the division. But Myles Garrett has 15 sacks. End of conversation. Like, this guy is on pace to break the single season sack record. And that's what's required. If you're on a really bad team, you need to break records. And at this point, I tip the cap, man. Because Garrett at the start of the season, he's plus 600, plus 700. I'm not betting plus 700 on a guy to break the single season sack record. That's never going to happen. But for those of you who did, congratulations, because this guy is going to do it. And as long as he doesn't get hurt, I don't see who's taking him down. I would love it for it to be Will Anderson or maybe even Aiden Hutchinson, one of those guys. But I think Garrett's going to get there. And, I mean, he gets the Raiders on Sunday. Like, how do you think that's going to go? That's like another two or three sacks on deck. We might be talking about 18 sacks by the end of it here for Myles Garrett this weekend. So, yeah, I think he's going to win this award until further notice. As for tonight, though, to get some bets in before we wrap things up here, in the NBA, I like the Rockets laying 1.5. I also like the Trailblazers getting 3 against the Chicago Bulls. In college basketball, give me Arizona plus 6.5 against UConn. I think those two teams are a little closer together than what the betting market thinks. And then finally, Frozen Femi on the ice. Capitals right winger Tom Wilson plus 200 as they take on Edmonton. And then the Calgary Flames, Nazem Kadri at plus 220 against the Buffalo Sabres. Both guys will light the lamp tonight, and we will cash tickets later this evening. That does it for me here on this Wednesday. Up next, Nick Kostos with his thoughts on the recent rankings from the College Football Playoff Committee.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.